James 5, 17 through 19. And it's kind of an odd scripture, but I think you'll get it when I get done here. James is talking about Elijah. So this is what James had to say about him at one point. Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have. Meaning he was just like you and me. And he prayed earnestly. So he prayed earnestly for it not to rain. And no rain fell on the earth for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again. And the heavens opened and supplied rain. And the land produced its crops as usual. My brethren, if anyone among you strays from the truth and falls into error, and another person brings him back to God, let the latter one be sure that whoever turns a sinner from his evil course will save that one's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Well, let's see. How do I start this? Okay, we live out in the country. It's outside the town, out in the county. It's an area that's surrounded by forests. All around us there's forests. There's a big park on one end that runs for hundreds of acres of just woods, and then every side of us, basically. And you know, some of the slides that I put up here periodically have our pictures from around the area where we live, and like the snow on some of the wooded lanes, the snow on the gazebo looking out with the forest behind it, and then the autumn leaf shots and stuff like that. Some of those are photos just from, you know, our yard. And living in and near these forests gives us kind of a unique perspective of things. And over the last decade or so, I've observed that whenever we have a drought year, a year with really low amount of rain coming down, the trees die and fall down. And you really notice this in the fall and winter when you notice that the forest floor is covered with fallen trees. When there's no green on it, you can see them all over. So, you know, rain must be a pretty good thing that they're talking about here. When you don't get enough rain, the trees, they can suffer and die. And then they fall down. Now, they don't fall down right away. When you have a drought, I mean, you'll notice that, oh, there's a nice healthy tree, and the next year it's got only half the leaves because you had a drought that summer. And you say to yourself, well, maybe it'll come back next year. And it doesn't. So that following year it's got only a quarter of the leaves it used to have. And then another year it doesn't have any. And then it'll sit there for a couple years and then it'll fall over. Dead. So sometimes it takes 3, 4, 5, 6 years for a tree to actually die and fall down. And I guess it's probably really the weaker trees that go first. Now, the funny thing is, and we learned this year, actually, or last year, when you get more than your share of rain, the ground can get all saturated, and sometimes trees will fall down, too, with too much rain. Only they're not dead, necessarily. They die after they fall down because their roots are torn right out of the ground. So rain can also be a bad thing. Just ask the folks in California, you know. Here they went for 4 or 5 years with less than normal rainfall, less than normal snowfall in the winters, and then they realized that, this is a pretty serious drought that they were having. And it ended up being much less than what they were used to. And without the spring melt-off, the man-made lakes dried up at an alarming rate. And just last summer, Lake Mead was down 160 feet from its normal level. There was a town that, when they built the dam and flooded Lake for Lake Mead, there was a town that they moved out and left the ruins of it. And it was exposed, and you could go out there and walk around and look at it. 160 feet underwater. And so that threatened the water supply, actually, to all of Southern California. And so bad that they were rationing water in Southern California. And that was just last summer. Now, if you've been watching the news, California now has lots of water. In fact, it's about 6 feet deep over much of the state, southern part of the state anyway. Floods are causing landslides. Dams are beginning to wash out and fail. One dam, the Oroville one, has been on it all over the news. It's threatening to wash out. When it fails, when that dam fails, there's about six little towns down there before it hits the state capital, Sacramento, and basically washes it out into the Pacific Ocean. I guess that's what is really meant by feast or famine, right? Too much or too little, kind of the inverse of what they credit to Elijah there. I'm not trying to say that God's trying to tell California anything. I'm more or less saying that, you know, any more than saying that a tornado in the Midwest is in the hands of God. The fact is, you know, I don't really know. That's the facts. I do believe, as the Bible says in Matthew 5:45, he says, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Now, just to clarify here, in this sermon, and all of these passages we're talking about here, any place we're talking about rain, we're not talking about rain. Rain's a metaphor, okay? We're talking about all the things that God provides for us. Rain, sunshine, snow, cold, warmth, heat, food, shelter, health, friends, fellowship, love, and well, the list goes on forever, really. Literally, everything. And this, if we have a word for this, we call it providence. God's providence is God's providence because it's what we need when we need it. Now, the dictionary defines providence as the foreseeing care and guidance of God over the creatures of the earth. Well, according to that definition, you might ask yourself, if God's providence foresees what we need, why should we pray for what we want? Well, why should we? Well, look at it this way. A lot of us are moms and dads, and do you ever want to hear from your kids? You know, and as a kid, you and your parents may no longer be with us, but the ones that are, they want to hear from you. Even if you're busy, even if you're tired, they want to know when you're at rope's end so they can pray for you. They just want to hear your voice. They want to know that you love them and you value your relationship with them. God wants to hear from you too, so he can funnel his strength and fortitude when you need it the most. He just wants to hear your voice. You know, a little rain is a good thing. A little less can be a bad thing. A little more can be a bad thing. When I was young, you know, back when there were dinosaurs roaming the earth, it was my job as a kid to deliver newspapers. I had about 60 houses on my morning routes. Right before Christmas one year, the paper was filled with ads. It was really heavy. And I had to take multiple trips just to get them over to where I started my paper routes. And then had to take them out and deliver them, so I kind of cached them all in one place. I could only carry five of them at a time. They were like that thick and weighed about 9 pounds apiece. In those days, everybody read the paper, and that's the way they came, full of ads and stuff. And it was just a lovely day, too, you know. It was cold. It was kind of snowing, sleet mixed with rain. The papers were all getting soaking wet. I was soaked to the skin. Frankly, you know, that day, what I remember that is that the first time I didn't know if I could do it or not. I didn't have the confidence to know. And I was 12 years old. I was miserable, cold, wet, exhausted. I knew I had this job that had to be done. And if I didn't do it, nobody would. I prayed as I walked along. I prayed I wouldn't freeze to death before I was finished. It took most of the morning to finish those deliveries, and when I finally got home, my mom hugged me and said she was worried for me, but she knew that I was strong and determined, and that I would finish my task. She'd laid out dry clothes and fixed me a piping hot breakfast. All of a sudden, you know, it really wasn't about the rain and cold anymore. It was about strength, determination, accomplishment. At 12 years old, becoming a man. Loving and being loved. And as I sat at the kitchen table, being warm at last, comfortable, I realized that God shows His love for us the same way. He'll equip and empower us. But we have to do the work in our lives. And when our work is finished, He'll reward us according to our tasks. So rain is a metaphor for God's providence. It's also a metaphor for God's love for you. You've heard it said, when it rains, it pours. I think a salt company had that as a slogan once. In the case of raining God's love for you, it pours. And it pours. And it pours, and it never, ever stops. You can't ask God to stop loving you. Because just if He listens to you in that prayer, it pours. And God reminds you by sending a rainbow. And in the case of His love for you, that rainbow is reflected every day of your life. So if you wish, go ahead and pray for rain. Pray for it to start, or pray for it to stop. The way I see it, if you want the rainbows of life, you gotta put up with the rain. Can I get an amen?
Amen.